Vidhi Desai, Krishna conscious perspective on corruption. How can we see the specific issue of corruption in the light of Krishna consciousness? Is fasting for political ends approved by our Vedas? Now, this is a hot topic in India at the time. As it's come to light that they, of course, corruption has been there in India for a long time. We find in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own followers was sentenced to death for corruption, which he eventually got freed from. So corruption's nothing new, and it's part of the fabric of Indian life, as anyone who's ever tried to do anything with any government worker knows. If you want a reservation on the train, and if you just go on the train without a reservation, you want a reservation, then it's, you know, 100, 200, 100 rupees extra, 200 rupees or more, depending on the situation. So corruption is part of life, but that the recently it has come to the public's notice the extent of the corruption, amounting to huge amounts of money that could actually make a very great difference to the economic life of everyone in this country if that money had not been illegally diverted for personal use. And we don't even know all of what's going on. I mean, even that, even these huge amounts which have come to light, then most likely there's much more that's still not known about. And years ago there was Rajiv Gandhi and the Bofors case, and that was all hushed up, although it seems pretty clear that the Gandhi family, who were after all just middle class airline pilots — he was an airline pilot, Rajiv Gandhi, before he became Prime Minister — somehow or other they became a lot richer than an airline pilot. So anyway, it's a big issue at the present time. Anna Hazare has become a national figure because he's standing against corruption. A lot of people are behind him. This Ramdev Baba tried, but he was a failure. He ran away. Instead of allowing himself to be arrested, he ran away all the way to Haridwar, made a fool of himself. So it's a big issue about corruption. What is the Krishna conscious perspective on this? Well, obviously laws should be in place to prevent corruption. There are already laws. Maybe some more laws are needed. But the Krishna conscious perspective is that the whole society is running on the principle of kaam, krodh and lobh, of lust and greed are being promoted as the guiding principles of modern society. The whole idea that is drilled into children in India, in middle class families especially, from the day they're born, that you have to be a success. Success is all based on earning money. So if there's easy money, people will go for it. It's not just in India, it's everywhere. I mean, there's big corruption cases coming up in England. In America, during the previous presidentship, George Bush II, his government quietly passed laws deregulating banks, and then some of his chief advisors who passed the laws, they got into banking, and there's a whole big scam. I mean, it's actually criminal what they did. A lot of it wasn't directly illegal because they changed the laws to facilitate what should have been considered corruption, and they wrecked the whole economy for the economic gain of a few people. So laws should be in place regarding hoarding, black marketeering and hoarding. Srila Prabhupada, which was going on when Srila Prabhupada was, that was a big issue when Srila Prabhupada was present, black marketeering and hoarding. You know what that means, hoarding? Just like, for instance, sugar. A few people, they buy up all the sugar and then they release it at a very high price. So they buy, that's called hoarding. And then black marketeering, the government places restrictions. At that time, there was in India, there were restrictions on all kinds of goods like cement, and then it would be sold on the black market at a high price. Prabhupada said the hoarders, the government should take them and shoot a few of them to set an example. That's what Prabhupada said. He didn't say to shoot them all, but some of them, just to set an example. So, corruption will be there because the whole aim of society is wrong. But then, you know, corruption, okay, it's a major problem. But then, illicit sex is also a major problem. Cow slaughters, also a major problem. There are so many problems. If you go after one of them, for instance, you're able to do something about corruption. I doubt if, I mean, by laws you can make people a bit more afraid, but still people will find some way to be corrupt. As long as the desire is there to not be corrupt. So by laws you can only do so much. The thing is, unless you have a king like Rama or Yudhishthira or Parikshit, who are completely fair and completely just and completely ruthless with these people, then you can't control it. You won't be able to control it. And that tendency will be there among the people. So it's required that a whole change of consciousness is required. You can't change the course of society simply by making laws. It's just like, for instance, in Singapore and Malaysia, drug selling of drugs like heroin, it's punishable by the mandatory death sentence. If you're found guilty of possessing more than a small amount of heroin, then the judge has no alternative but to sentence you to death. And still there are people who do it because they think the risk is, the money is so, the easy money they can get is so easy that it's worth taking the risk. So every so often they execute people. They go on executing people and still people do it. Because the propensity or the tendency for cheating and making easy money has not been uprooted from their heart. Democracy, the whole idea that, you know, everyone's fair to each other and they're nice and they're good, but it doesn't work. I mean, we can see in this country, democracy is a failure. It hasn't worked because there may be many reasons for that. For a start, in the West, in England and France, it developed gradually, and there's been after. But still, so it's become part of the fabric of their nation. Whereas in this country, the culture is still quite different. But there, you find there also, it's the corrupt individuals. They find ways to subvert the whole institutions, just like it's. Consider that in a democracy, a balance is kept by, you can elect your representatives, and then there's the judiciary, and there's the press, so that the press can point out different things that are wrong. But we find that in this country, that's another of the scams, votes for money. People are paid to vote. Or there's booth capturing, where the hoodlums in charge, who are paid by one certain party, they capture the voting booth, so you're only allowed to vote for their party. So in this way, in the Western countries, and here also, but particularly in the Western countries, it's more subtle that the rich people who own the TV stations and the newspapers, they are paid directly or indirectly by the politicians to promote particular politicians. So, or another consideration is that whichever party comes in power or whichever leader comes in power, they all do what the big businessmen want them to do. And they can't even get into a position where they could get into power unless the big businessmen want them to. Just like in this country, the Dhirubhai Ambani is considered practically like a national hero, right? What do you think? Well, that's the impression I get. He's promoted as a great man. Well, you know, one reason for that is that he paid off all the newspapers to promote him like that. You see, if he'd give the newspapers advertisements, and they have to promote him. They promote his companies and his products, and they have to promote him. And if they give any bad press about, just like Gujarat Samachar in England, it's a Gujarati paper in England, they started doing some bad press about him. And he sent his men to find out why. He said, they want advertisements. He said, okay, give it to them. Give them advertisements, and then the press changed about him. So it's, without changing the consciousness of the people, there's not, you can, by enacting laws, change things to some extent. But really have to purify the consciousness of the people. This whole modern society based on lust and greed and exploit the earth and build more factories, it perverts the whole consciousness of the people and just makes people more lusty and more greedy. And you can't expect good consciousness in such a society. So what should we do about corruption? Spread the Krishna consciousness movement. It's the only hope. Is fasting, another part of this question, is fasting for political ends approved by our Vedas? Srila Prabhupada specifically addressed this in relationship to Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, otherwise known as Mahatma Gandhi, that Prabhupada said that it's not. Fasting for political purposes is not approved.